Welcome to the Net Zero Scotland Community Podcast Series, brought to you by Scottish Business Network.
Welcome to this episode. I'm delighted to be joined by Sumit Bose, co-founder of Future Net Zero, and we're going to talk about net zero.
So, we are, absolutely. Good to join you, James.
Thank you. So firstly, I guess, what is net zero?
Well, it all depends. You know, it's if we look at what's happened, the government basically decided, Theresa May's government, last year, the last act of her government pretty much was to commit the country to net zero. So net zero, as defined by the government, is frankly to say that we will get to a stage in 2050 where the total of our emissions is effectively zero, a combination of mitigation and cutting back. So in simple terms, we want to basically say that what we produce as UK PLC, we actually effectively neutralise in terms of emissions with a mix of we plant trees, we do things that kind of encourage us to sort of suck the carbon back out, and then we actually hopefully get to the thing where we cut carbon right down, so that we want, the government effectively wants us to cut about 80%, if we can, of the carbon we produce today by 2050, and the 20% will be done through sort of mitigation, which is, you know, using things that absorb the carbon that's out there. And I think that the difference is, from all the things that have happened in kind of sustainability over the last, say, 20 years, this is actually a government mandated target, which means we as a society, and the society frankly is business, so, you know, the things we buy, the products we buy, they will have to be effectively looking at the carbon they produce, from your car to your cup of coffee to the clothes you wear. And I think that's what makes it so different, and it makes it absolutely really kind of motivates business, because we all have to get there.
So it's not a choice for businesses to do this.
No, absolutely.
And with the government looking at putting renewables on the electricity grid, with meaning we can't buy anything other than electric vehicles from 2035,
yep,
aren't they solving the problem for us?
No, they were nowhere near. And that's the real truth is that if you look at it, what we've got to do is, if you take energy, right, which is obviously the field that I'm most familiar with, if you look at energy, we have been doing a lot over the last decade in what we call decarbonising. So very simply, 101 energy, we used to burn lots of things, okay? We used to burn oil, we used to burn, coal, things that came from the ground, old trees that became the deposits of fossil fuels that we have now. We've been trying to take that carbon out. So over the last decade, the government has tried to cut down the number of power stations that are used in coal. The energy sector now is moving to things like wind turbines and solar. And all of that is great. But if you look at it in a perspective, we're still only producing probably around about 30% of all our energy renewably. So 70% has to come, and that is still carbon fuels. So that's whether it's gas that we're importing, you know, a tiny bit of coal we still burn, which will eventually go, and, you know, lots of kind of LNG that comes through. So we're still using things. So the idea that we can just go, let's just let the government, you know, give us some energy that's greener, we sign up to a green tariff, that will not get us there.
So if we're focused a lot on smaller businesses here,
yes,
so bigger businesses, you can see, they've got the time and the resources.
Absolutely.
You're now saying that as a smaller business, I can't opt out of this. I can't rely on other people.
Mm.
So what do I do?
Well, we're one. We're a tiny micro business. We're only 10 people. And I suppose the thing that you've got to look at it is this way, is why would you do it? And frankly, humans are very simple. We only do things because we never do them because they feel good, right? We do them because we're going to make money out of it, or we're going to lose money out of it when you're running a business. And I think the reality is, it doesn't matter how small your business is, eventually, up the food chain, you've got a client who's a bigger business, okay? And they are changing. So for us, for example, we work with some quite large companies, and we got an email just 2 days ago. We got an email saying, hello, you're one of our suppliers. What are you doing around net zero? And I think this is the real thing that's different for small businesses, is that, you know, it's a bit like the rules around plastic bags. You know, initially it was all the big companies do it. Now, from I think next year, all small businesses will have to offer a charge if you, excuse me, produce a plastic bag. So I think that what will happen is that it's like a kind of slow creep, that everyone you do business with will say to you, what are you doing? And what I think really has to happen is just start. You know, for us, you know, we've just started And the first way you start, it's like when you start a diet or anything, you've got to measure. So now we know how much carbon we as a business produce per person. We never knew that. And I think that's the real fundamentals, is that it's got to be for small businesses something that's quite easy to do, you know, cheap, because frankly it's a cost, but it is something that is so fundamental to where your business will be going in the future, because you may not need it now, but eventually someone's going to ask you, hello, James, how much carbon your business is producing? Oh, that's a bit too much. I can't deal with you. So it won't be a choice. It'll be basically a way of doing, just like you'd have business insurance, you're going to have some way of knowing your carbon.
Yeah, and I guess that's one of the, and you said human beings do things when they have to, is 2050 is a long way off. It's literally half a lifetime away. Mm. So if I measure it now, do I have to actually do something now, or can I wait?
No, I think the thing is, once you measure it, it's like anything, isn't it? You then know. And then you might go, well, actually, next year, what could I do? It's like the thing about smart meters. It's had a lot of bad press, but, you know, they will work, because people go, oh, I've used this much. If I turn that off, how could I do it? So I think that, you know, yes, it sounds like 30 years is a long way away, but sadly, I feel like 1990 World Cup was, you know, yesterday for me. That's 30 years ago. You and I are a similar generation. So it can go in a blink of an eye. And I think the real truth is that you will have to do this, not just because of business, but society is changing. We all see the young kids. They're your customers. No matter what your field you're in, they'll be wanting to know these things. So I don't think you can say, I'll put it off and put it off. I think just start. And if it's not massive effort, just by knowing where you are, you can then think, actually, could I perhaps, you know, drive a bit less? Or could we use LED lighting in our office? Or should we change some of our work practices? See what it does. And I think that's what really excites me about net zero, is that if you can do a little bit, it's like the sum, you know, it's a long-term game. You just do need to do little bits all the time. And I don't think you can say, I'll leave it till tomorrow.
So in terms of context, COVID-19, lockdown, yep, working from home, mm, people not travelling, has that solved the problem?
It's done nothing, unfortunately. I mean, it's been great. It's what it's done in the way that, you know, if you look at it and you know, putting aside the disease and all of that, if we look just on the net zero and the carbon side of things, all it's shown, I think, in the positive light, is that if we stop doing things, things can recover, right? You can hear birds. You can see rivers clearing up. You can see the sky clearing up. You can smell better. You can breathe the air. Sadly, in terms of actually where we are in terms of all the carbon we use, it hasn't made a big dent, right? It's made a tiny, small percentage dent in where we need to be. So the reality, and also it came at a massive cost. It's continuing to come as a huge cost of society being shut down, no economy. So I think what we've got to do is, you know, we will get through COVID. We will get out of the other side, whether it's a year, 2 years, we'll be out of it. But this is something that we need to do for, frankly, just the, you know, the benefit of our planet, you know, the benefit of the air we breathe, what we drink, how we live. And I just think that, you know, it sounds like it made a big difference. It won't. You know, what will make a difference is all of us doing little bits, you know. Being shut down in our houses for 3 months and not driving, fine, it's made a difference to the pollution. But if you look at the levels now, they're all going back to where they were. So it isn't that we do that. What we've got to do is find a way of continuing to have business, continuing to have society, but everyone making incremental changes continuously.
And I think one of the things that it's potentially demonstrated is that to get to net zero sustainably and consistently, we're going to have to change the way we live, aren't we?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I'm not a big believer in denial. I think what we've got to do is we've got to change the way we live in a way that we can change. Yeah? I could say to you, right, James, do you know what? It'd be great if you just got the bicycle out and you cycle to your next meeting from, you know, Manchester to Birmingham. It's not going to happen. But, you know, what we can say is let's look at where we are, all our businesses, and say, if we do some work from home, well, that might be quite good for some of our staff. It might cut down our emissions in some ways. But remember, there's an emission there. You know, they're at home. They're using energy. I think what you've got to do is basically say, look at incremental steps and say, actually, this is something I can do now. great. Some things I can't do, but maybe there is technology that could help me. Maybe there is advice I could get out there to help me. So it's about, for me, using, you know, the measuring of carbon is your first step. The second step is just to say, what can I actually legitimately do? And if you say, actually, I live near enough to where I could walk, then do it. Not all the time, maybe one or two days a week. Yeah. If you think, actually, we could try and get our landlord to put in some LED lighting, or we could go into a green energy tariff. We could do things that aren't going to really make it difficult for us. We could look how we recycle our stuff, but in ways that don't become too encompassing. Because if it becomes so much so, you won't do it. Well, no. I certainly wouldn't do it.
No. So if I'm trying to plan this, a lot of businesses trying to contextualize the problem. So, you know, simplistically, is it a compliance issue? Is it an opportunity for my business? Yeah. Or is it a threat to my business? Which, how would you see that?
I think it's all three, if I'll be honest with you. I think there is a compliance issue because you're mandated by government, but there's a real opportunity, definitely. You know, there's a real opportunity and there is a threat. You know, the threat is if you don't do it, you might not get the job that's coming up. You'll be competing with other companies who are. But I think the opportunity is that you can make a difference that, you know, just by knowing for us, and I can only talk about us, what we do, and we're a kind of, you know, we're a media business, so we're lots of computers, but frankly, not much else. We don't produce lots of goods. We don't have a big supply chain or any of that. But it's been great because the people, you know, the team that work here, they've all come up with ideas they want to do. Some are now working from home pretty much full time. Others saying, well, should we get ask the council for a bike rack so we can put our bikes in, you know? So I think it can change. And the opportunity, I think, is it'll make you think about things differently. You can think about your business different, but also who might you be able to attract to come and work for your company? And if you're a fairly, you know, it doesn't matter how big or small, the people that are coming out, the graduates, the young kids on apprenticeships, they've got a different aspect of what they want. And it isn't just what it used to be in our day. So they want to know where you're going. So I think that will help you attract. It'll help you to get more business because you can show to someone, look, I want to do this. Look what my credentials are. But also, I just think it'll make you think differently. And that's all it's done for us, is that suddenly, you know, instead of just talking about it, we go, oh, we've actually know what we've done. And our hope is now that we know where we are for this year that's gone, that in 2021, we might be able to do things to try and just reduce that figure.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, for me, it just makes you engage. And that's all you can ask, is that if you engage, you'll do something.
And I think something that confuses a lot of people is the definition of net zero versus things like carbon neutrality. There's reducing emissions, there's offsetting. It can become a bit confusing.
Yeah.
So I guess a simple question would be, if I paid to plant some trees tomorrow that were equivalent to all my today emissions, I've solved my problem and I'm net zero for sure, aren't I?
No, you're not net zero, but you know, you've basically, you're showing some carbon neutrality. I mean, let's be honest, it sounds good. You know, you hear loads of companies saying that they've all gone, you know, carbon neutral. All they're saying is exactly what you've said. We're producing lots of crap, frankly. Yeah, but what we've done is we've tried to be moralistic by planting a few trees. There isn't anything wrong with that, right? Because the good thing, at least you're planting things, you're trying to do things, but they're generally in other parts of the world, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I actually think you've got to do something to cut your actual direct emissions, so what you're producing. So that can be from, you know, the easiest thing you can do is probably go and get yourself a green energy tariff, right? That could make a difference. Second thing you can do is you can look at kind of, you know, what are journeys that you make, that could you do those a different way? Yes, mitigate, absolutely. You know, look at some offsetting. Why not do that? Because, you know, there are things like the energy profile of your computers. You know, all this, there's a phrase that is quite weird for people to get in. It's called embedded carbon. But it's kind of how much energy did it take to make the thing you're using? So if you look at your PC, how much carbon went into making that, and then how much carbon goes into running it, well, you could say, actually, that's really quite hard for me to justify how I can reduce that, because I still need that bit of kit, but I could plant a few trees to get rid of that. But hang on, the journeys that we make, well, we could cut that back. You know, the amount of times we're using paper, we could cut that back. So there, I think there's this image you've got to get in your head of, what can I do directly? And what I can't do directly, then offsetting has a role for it. And I think that's the way we're going to try and do as well.
Okay, and back to putting this into context is, should I be viewing getting to net zero as something that's going to cost, so it's going to put cost into my business in the long run, or is it something that's actually going to take cost out of my business?
I think personally it will take cost out of your business. I think that's the way to look at it. You may have to invest a little bit to begin with, but it's, you know, it's like buying an exercise bike, isn't it? First of all, you do it, and then eventually, if you use it regularly, it doesn't become a cloud source, you will get the benefit. And I think that that's the way to do it. We have our site, futurenetzero.com. We will be creating very soon a kind of Net Zero 101 to tell you all those things, answer all those questions. How do I start? What is it? What are the definitions? But I think you've got to look at it as something that will be an opportunity. Maybe not immediately, but it will definitely be an opportunity. And I think that's the way to look at it. Don't think that if you have to invest in a few things, oh, this is a bad cost right now. Think of it as the gain in the longer term.
Fantastic. So we're coming up to time. Any final thoughts, advice, suggestions?
I just think the best thing to do is just to get informed. You know, there are plenty of places out there. Like I said, our site is there. You know, what you're doing with, you know, the platform with Carbon Export and a tool, that's a great thing to get people engaged. And you just got to start. That's all I'd say is start. And, you know, once you've made that start, you'll find out what you want to do. But unless you take that first step, you won't go anywhere.
Sumit, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure, James.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Start your net zero journey today at netzerocommunity.scot.